All right, hopefully y'all were able to get the notes that I sent earlier. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah. That's the next to the last book in the Old Testament. Very easy to find, just two books before Matthew. Zechariah chapter 3, this is a real blessing. And we're only going to look at 10 verses, and actually I'm only planning on dealing with 7 of the 10 that we'll read. Maybe we'll peek at the 8th one a little bit. But I do want to mention this. There's a Joshua who's going to be mentioned here, and it's not the Joshua that you know the most about. Okay, this is not the Joshua who followed Moses. This is another Joshua. This is the one who came along during Israel's return from captivity. He was high priest during that time that the Israelites returned from Babylon back to the land of Israel to rebuild the temple and the city. All right, so let's read it. Zechariah chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let him set a fair mitre upon his head." Okay, that's the hat of the priest. "So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by." Amen. My message today is those that stand by. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'll help us to see what a blessing it is to be standing by, ready to serve you in whatever capacity you would deem appropriate for us or according to your will. We pray, Lord, that you would give us all a heart to desire to do your will at all times and to be ready for that and to count it as a blessing. Help us, Lord, to see what a blessing it is today as we study this passage of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's so much in this passage that could be preached. You've probably heard preachers preach about a brand plucked out of the fire. I think I've probably preached that myself. But I'm not going to preach that today. I'm not going to even be preaching the whole passage itself. Joshua, he said to be a brand plucked out of the fire. That speaks about his iniquity. It talks about it there. And all I can say about that is that Joshua, although he was the high priest, he got over there in Babylon and he took on some of the ways of Babylon. You know, he was truly the priest. He was in the line to be the high priest, but he must have played around with some things to make that the angel of the Lord mention his iniquity here. And I believe he must have gotten into some things that he should not have gotten into. And you notice also the devil, he's standing at his right hand. Why? To resist him. Here's Satan. He's saying, hey, you can't put this guy in service. I got a list right here of all of the sins that he's committed. Man, you say Santa Claus has a list. Well, Satan has his list too. He's been watching you and he's making a list about you. And every one of them is bad. And he takes that list to the Lord and he says, Lord, you can't do anything with them. You can't bless them. You can't save them. You can't work with them. Look what they are. Look what they've done. Look at the mess that they've made of their lives. You think the Lord doesn't know all of that stuff? No. But here, look what he says. You know what the Lord does? He just says, get out of here. Of course, you know, and today, you know, the Lord says the blood has been shed, and this one is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But look what he says, and I think this is interesting, because we always talk about how Michael the archangel says, the Lord rebuke thee. Okay, we know that, but do you realize the Lord is the one speaking in this passage we read, and he says, the Lord rebuke thee. He just wants to make sure that the devil knows who it is that's rebuking him, okay? So he comes in, he rebukes him, and he says, this is a brand plucked out of the fire. He's got filthy garments, but we're going to give him some new garments. We're going to take those filthy ones off, we're going to put some clean ones on him, and we're going to set that fair mitre on his head. And what he's saying is, I'm going to give him the authority as the high priest. I'm going to place him back in there because I'm the one who's cleaning him up. Isn't it amazing how God can clean us up and then use us and do things with our lives, no matter how dirty we got? And the devil would say, well, you can't do anything with them. And God says, you just watch me. You just watch me. Watch what I can do. I can take someone, I can clean them up, I can set them up, I can put them somewhere, and I can use them for my glory. And he says, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And you get into this thing, as you go on, you'll find down there, as you get to the end of verse 5, he says, and the angel of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to talk about the angel of the Lord. That's a big topic. Other than to just let you know, it certainly does look very clearly to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time, just about every time I've found it in Scripture, it is Jesus Christ. And he's talking about my courts. This is the angel of the Lord speaking about my courts. And so it most undoubtedly is the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice also in verse 6 that the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua. He protested. He kind of throws a challenge at him here. Now, you just got to remember, God has just defended him in front of the devil. And then he comes to Joshua and he says, you better straighten up, man. You better do right. And yet, isn't that the way God does with us? The devil comes to the Lord and he accuses us, and God says, get out of here. I'm not even going to listen to you. And then after the devil is gone, God turns to us and says, now I want this out of you. I want you to straighten up. I want you to live right. I want you to obey. And if you will, I'll bless you. And so he says here to Joshua in verse 7, if thou wilt walk in my ways. He says, this is an if. There's a condition. Okay, you know what? This is not salvation, by the way. This is blessing from service. Blessing from service. This is rewards we're talking about now. He says, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. I noticed up there in verse 5 where it says that the angel of the Lord stood by, and then down in verse 7 he says, I'm going to give you places to walk among these that stand by. In verse 14 of chapter 4, this is another group, Zechariah 4:14, this is talking about the two witnesses, but it says there, then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And looking at all that, I said, hey, what are all these people that are standing by? I mean, is that it? Is that all they're doing is standing by? I mean, some places it says they stood by, and some places it says they stood before, but they're all just standing around. You say, does God call upon us to just stand around? Not stand around, but he calls upon us to stand by. See, there are some things that he's talking about here. Now, a lot of those who were standing by in the Old Testament are the angels. it'll be the angels. But so what are we talking about? The angel of the Lord stood by, okay? The angels, the heavenly beings, they stand by. But you know what? There's also faithful saints who are going to stand by. He just told him here in chapter 3, verse 7, I'll give you places to walk among them that stand by. Okay? That sounds like standing by to me. Okay? You also find in Psalm 24, Psalm 24, especially there in verse 3, the Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Well, the main thing I'm want you to see here is that there's a picture. There's a picture of not only the angels and the heavenly beings, but the faithful saints of God. And this is, yes, this is Old Testament, I understand, but let's just use these pictures, okay? Okay, so we don't need to get all cramped up and say, well, this is Old Testament, so I don't even get to enjoy it. God is letting us know that there's a group of people and they're going to get to stand by. Well, what's that talking about? Well, if you go through the scriptures for other places where this phrase occurs, you're going to find it a lot of times. Let's look at Judges. And this is not heavenly, this one here at all. This is earthly, the one we're getting ready to look at in Judges. In Judges chapter 3, you have the story of a deliverer that the Lord raised up named Ehud. And Ehud makes him a dagger that's 1 cubit long. And he goes to the very fat king of Moab, King Eglon, to bring this dagger as a gift. And he kills the king with that dagger. And you see, Israel at that time was a conquered country by the kingdom ruled by Eglon. Okay, so what happens? Well, Ehud gives the dagger to the king, but then he sticks around because he tells the king he has a secret errand he needs to talk with him about. And down there in verse 18, Judges 3:18, the Bible says, and when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. Okay, so what happens? Well, this king, he had a group of people standing by. They were standing here, they were standing there, ready to do this, whatever Ehud says. And Ehud says, I have a secret, or whatever Eglon says, I should say. And Ehud says, I have a secret errand for you. And Eglon says, silence, don't say a word. And he sends everybody away. And everybody who stood by, what did they do? They obeyed him. They went out. Now that's just one example, but there's a number of these. I'll show you one more. We'll just go to one more of these. And this is more of a general nature. This will be in Luke chapter 19. And there's several of these in the Bible. What am I showing you? These are things that normally you're reading along in your Bible and you read on by it and you never pay any attention to it until God starts putting some of the pieces together for you. I want you to know that God wants some people who will just stand by and be ready to serve him. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus is telling one of his parables. This is the parable of the 10 pounds, and we're going to just jump right in the middle of it because I just want to zoom in on one thing that I want you to see. Luke 19, verse 20, and another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere, that means strict, man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. So you know what he did? He said to them that stood by, he said, take care of him. Just get him out of here. Take what he has. Give it to the man with 10 pounds. What does that show you? Now you're thinking about royalty. Okay, you're thinking kings. You're thinking rulers. And you know what they did? They would have a group. They would have men, maybe officers, the high priest. They had officers that stood by also. Maybe you remember in Acts chapter 23, when Paul said something that the high priest didn't like. The high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. See, so he didn't do it himself. He told them to do it. And so what you have is you have these kings, you have these men in authority who would always have this group of men around them, group of officers or group of people with specialties, and they would be there standing, ready to minister to the king, ready to go out and do the bidding of the king. And you know what we are? We're supposed to be those that stand by. We're supposed to be people who are just there ready to do God's work. But it ought to be something that we really desire. It ought to be, Lord, would you help me to be one who would just stand by, who would be ready to serve you? So, well, how does this work? Well, notice that it says that those who were faithful stood by. He said to Joshua the priest, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge. He also says that God chooses you for this in a way. And again, I know I'm putting some things together here, but in Psalm 65, these are things that if you put them together, it's kind of a picture more than anything. But look here, Psalm 65, verse number 4, David is the one writing this. And he said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. So I want you to know something, believers. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, you are saved by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is only through him. It's nothing that you do. And no believer is different from another when it comes to salvation. My salvation, it's just as complete as Paul's was. Your salvation is just as complete as any of the martyrs was over the last 2,000 years. Complete. You have the whole thing. There's nothing that's been withheld from you as far as salvation. But when it comes to how God is going to use us, how God is going to bless us, and how he's going to reward us in eternity and those other things, listen, the Bible is clear about this. There are differences among believers when it comes to those things. The Bible says that some members of the Lord's church, they're going to have authority over a certain number of cities, and they're not the same number of cities. Well, does that not tell you that there's going to be some who won't have that blessing or who won't get to reign so highly? Don't you believe that there's going to be some differences in heaven? There's going to be some differences in how God uses people and what he does with them when we get up to be with him. I'll tell you what, if you're the official shoeshine boy or girl. You're going to be happy that you're there. And you're going to enjoy your shoeshine job. I mean, don't you think don't you think that'd be a blessing? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you're going to be glad that you're there, glad that you get to serve God. But I believe there's going to be a time of disappointment when you arrive and you realize what you could have done for God and you did not do. I mean, there's going to be some realization there. You'll say, Lord, why did I not give myself more unto you when I had the chance? You have a chance today, believers. You have the chance right now. Don't waste it. But I want to look at those that stand by. Just five things about them. Look at Revelation chapter 7. We're going to kind of start at the end. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15. We're just going to look through the scriptures, pick out a few people who are standing by in one way or another. The way it's worded won't always be exactly the same, but in every case, they are there. They're serving God. And it says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. First thing I want you to know about those that stand by is that they are the ones that serve God in his temple. And by the way, when I say this, they're not serving themselves. They're not even serving the people. They're serving God directly. And when I say serve God, I mean they are ministering to the Lord. They're doing for him. Now, I showed some of you in our Revelation study how that when Jesus Christ sets up his 1,000-year kingdom on the earth, most of the Levites, that priestly nation, will not be allowed to serve or to minister to the Lord because they had a history of going after idols. In fact, there was only one faithful family within the Levite tribe that will be allowed direct access to the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him personally, and that's the family of Zadok. The rest of the Levites, they'll serve, but they'll be serving other people. You find that in Ezekiel 48, verse 11, in case you forgot. All right, now, you know, serving others, that's not always a blessing, is it? So often we're out there and we're trying to do something for somebody. And if you ever tried that, you know how hit and miss that is. It's like Russian roulette. You don't know what the reactions are going to be. You go around, you do for people, and sometimes it is a blessing. And it's a blessing to you, it's a blessing to them, but sometimes they're going to turn on you. The very ones you're trying to help out do not appreciate your service to them. Okay, so I'm just saying it's not a 100% thing. If you're serving others, you are going to be disappointed so much that you might even think about quitting. Now, sure, every now and then you'll have somebody and they're just, that person is such a blessing and they just love you and it's wonderful. But you're also, I'm just letting you know, you're also going to have people, they're going to forget you. They're going to turn on you and they don't care what you did for them. Then they'll even get mad when you try to help them. You're going to have all sorts. Be ready for it. And the thing is, if your goal is to go out there and you're saying, oh, I just want to serve people, you are going to be disappointed at times. And you're going to be a very unhappy person before this life is over with. But you know what? You can never be disappointed if your goal is to serve God and to minister unto him. Man, if we could understand to stand by. You know what that means? The king, he's up here on his throne, and you're just one of the ones over here, and as soon as he calls your name, there's somebody who says, go do this, and you jump up, you go do it. and you're just there to serve, and you're giving yourself to His service, not your own, not your ambition. It's not what you want, it's what He wants. Oh, if we could get that into our lives, you'd see a great difference. Look with me real quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. He's setting up the service of God, the Levites. And he says in verse 8, Deuteronomy 10, 8, at that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto Him, and to bless in His name unto this day. Okay? Now, of course, this was before they went into idolatry, but that's the way God set things up. And you'll find numerous references to those Levites and to Israel and those priests and how their job in that temple was to minister to the Lord. They were to give their hearts to serving Him. It's a mindset. It's a heart condition. You know, we're out there trying to get this done. Why? What for? What are you doing it for? Do you think you're trying to serve God when you do that? I mean, maybe you do. You think you're trying to serve God, but your heart is not in serving God. Your heart is in just doing something. Your heart is in maybe even helping something, which is a good thing. Right? I mean, there's a lot of people who need help, okay? So you just do the best that you can. You go out there and you try to serve God, and when it comes right down to it, you look at what you're doing and you come to realize that you're not really ministering to Him. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it talks about Samuel there serving in the temple. It says he ministered to the Lord a couple of times, talking about him ministering as a little boy, growing up in the house of the Lord. He was ministering to the Lord, the Bible says. And God has called us to minister unto Him, to say, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? What can I do for you today? We say, well, God doesn't need anything from us. See, we get that mindset, don't we? It's true. He doesn't need anything from us. But we need to minister to Him. We're missing blessings if we don't do it. And it's a way of thinking that will really transform your Christian life if you can get this. I mean, everybody's got stress, don't they? We get so stressed. I get stressed. Lord, I'm trying to get this done for you, and everything's messing up, and oh, I'm so upset. You know what can help? If you're really ministering to the Lord, you come to a frustrating thing, and you say, Lord, by the way, if this is what you want me to do today, then you're going to have to show me how to get through these obstacles that have come up so that I can accomplish it. Otherwise, I don't know that it's going to get done, Lord. But if you don't want it done, that's your business too. I'll just do my best and I'll trust you for it. And it's wonderful. Don't forget the Lord in whatever kind of service you're trying to do. Preparing a Bible study, going out, trying to get a group of people together to pass out gospel tracts, whatever kind of service you want to do for the Lord, make sure the Lord is there. Make sure it's for Him and He's part of it. Okay. You say, well, preacher, do you do that all the time? Nope. I forget. I do. I get so focused in, so involved on what I'm trying to accomplish. I get in the flesh. I get to doing it in my strength. But I will tell you this, when I figure that out and I do turn it over to God, then things are wonderful. That takes the stress. It really takes the stress off of you. And you know what I found out? Usually when I do that, that's when I start getting more done than I do when I work myself to death. I mean, there I am. I'm putting everything into it. I'm trying to serve the Lord, but really I'm serving myself. I'm trying to get done what I wanted to get done today. I need to get done what He wants me to get done today. And you know what? If He doesn't make a way for me to get it done, that's His business. And if there's something from the devil that's fighting him, if he doesn't take care of it, well, what am I going to do with the devil if the Lord ignores him? You know, what am I going to do? If he can't get through those obstacles, I sure can't. And you know what? You just turn it back on the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just serving you. You want me to get this done or don't you? And you see those things going on and you find out that we're ministering to ourselves so many times when God wants us to minister to him and do his bidding. All right, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1, names this group of men there at the church at Antioch. Verse 2, says, As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Okay, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. See, in the New Testament church, they were ministering to the Lord here in the church of Antioch, and these churches, they ministered to God. And there's some other verses that talk about this idea of just doing for the Lord. Okay, not only that, those that serve God not only serve in his temple, this second one is very much related, but in Psalm 135, verses 1 through 3, we find that they're offering praise unto God. They're offering praise unto God. Psalm 135, verse 1, Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, are you standing by? If you are, then sing his praises. Sing his praises. You know, why don't we praise God? What do you praise? What kind of things make you praise? What do you get excited about? What do you brag about? Something that you're excited about, right? I mean, what do grandparents like to brag about? Their grandkids, right? I mean, most grandparents, man, I rarely see one that doesn't have a picture of their grandkids in their wallet. I mean, parents might not have a picture of their own kids in their wallet because they see their kids every single day. But man, you try to find a grandparent without a picture of their grandkids. They'll tell you how many they have. They'll tell you, they'll brag about them. They'll point them out if they're around, and they'll be proud of them. Oh, that's okay, right? I mean, they like to brag about them and tell you about them because they're excited about them. You know what? People get into something and they get excited about it and they start bragging on it. You see somebody, they like sports. And they're always going to be bragging about that. You know, these athletes, they do something that's kind of abnormal for anybody to be able to do. And so they become our heroes. Man, did you see what he did? Did you hear? He broke that record. You know what you're doing? You're praising that person. That's what you're doing. You're praising them. You know why we don't praise God? Do you know why we don't praise God? Because we're not very excited about God anymore. You lose your excitement about the things of God. If you were excited about the Lord, you'd praise him a little bit. Oh, Lord, you're so good today. You helped me today. Hey, do you know what God did for me, people? Man, let me tell you. I mean, you'd just go on and on and on. You wouldn't care what anybody thinks about it. Well, that's what those people do that stand by. They offer praise to God. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse number 4, goes along with this point. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. You know what? If you dwell in the house of the Lord, you're excited about it. Can you imagine what it would be like? We say, well, we're going to get up there in heaven. There's millions of people, and I'm just one of the believers. And even if I'm faithful, how would God ever give me a chance to stand by him? A lot of competition, right? Well, you know what? David was so concerned about being able to give everybody a chance that during his ministry, he had more priests than could ever take care of the tabernacle. He had so many priests who would never be able to serve. They'd never get their chance. So you know what he did? He set up 24 courses or groups, and they would take something like a month at a time and serve in the temple. You find that, and Joshua read it this morning, Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, was part of that in the New Testament. His turn came up. They would draw lots to see who would take part in the special sacrifices, and he got to do the sacrifice of the altar of incense there in the evening, and it was a very special thing to do that. And it was during that service that God revealed to him that John the Baptist would be born of him and Elizabeth, a miraculous birth. But, and what a blessing, right? As he was serving God in his temple. That's a blessing. But that's the way they would do it. They just kind of would rotate the thing. But did you ever stop to think about how much time you're going to have when you get out of this world? You know how much time God has got to work with? Hey, you've been here for 2 million years now. Today's your day. You get to stand by today. All right, this is my day. I don't know how it's going to work, and you don't either. So we don't need to argue about it. Because my guess is as good as yours. But I just want you to see that God says if we will be faithful, he will let us walk among those that stand by. And I thought about that, and you know, there are all those angels over there, and there's Michael, and there's Gabriel, and those are the only two that we know the names of, except Mr. Lucifer. We know he's not going to be there, amen? but you have all these angels, archangels, cherubim, seraphim, and everything, and you come up, and you see those men, and he says, you know what? If you'll be faithful, I'll let you walk among them. Ooh. You say, well, that doesn't excite me. Well, I guess you don't have any holiness about you then. I don't know what it is. I'll tell you what, it ought to be exciting to be able to serve God. And hey, we're going to get to be part of it. And maybe one day God will just let me stand by for a little bit. And you just say, well, what am I supposed to do? You look around, oh, they're singing praises over there. I think I'll go sing with them. And then, oh, you want me to do that? Great, I get to do something. Praise God. Let's go. Listen, I know we don't understand exactly how it's going to happen over there, but we do know that those who stand by, they get to praise him. And we ought to get excited and say, Lord, I just want to get a little bit of practice in praising you right now so that when I get up there, maybe you'll let me get up there in that choir. And by then, my voice won't be off key like it is now, and it'll sound so sweet. And I'm going to get up there and sing praises to you. Whoa, what a blessing. But you know, that's not all that happens when you stand by. There's a sense where we stand by even today, isn't there? Look at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And I'm just going to try and get through about 3 more points real quickly here. Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. And Daniel, of course, is always getting these visions from the Lord. And then he has somebody come and interpret those visions. Look at this. He says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. You say, well, that's the angels there, right? Probably is. Probably so. In this case, I don't have any problem with that. That's an angel. But you know what? When he wanted to know what the interpretation of his vision was, he checked with one of those guys who was standing by. Why? Because the guy standing by knew what was going on. See, the thing is, if you're in the court of the king and you're standing by, you're hearing a lot of stuff. You see who comes in, you see who leaves, you hear what they say, you hear what the king says, you hear what's going on. You're getting close in now. You are in that inner circle to some degree, and you know what's going on. I'm going to tell you what, if you are willing to stand by, God will show you some things he wouldn't show you if you're out here playing your own game. He just gives you a little bit more information because you got close. Psalm 27, verse 4, is a great psalm. Psalm 27, verse 4, David again. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." He's saying, I just want to stand by. He didn't use those words there, but that's what he's saying. He says, I just want to stand by. He says, first of all, I get to behold the beauty of the Lord. Oh, wow, man, that's so good. I didn't imagine it would be this good. Let me just look again. I got to see. He says, I just want to see the beauty of the Lord. And he says, and I want to inquire in his temple. I tell you what, you get close to the Lord and you can inquire of him. Ask him something. Lord, can I ask you a question? The Bible does say in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay? You lack wisdom? Ask God. See, God is not going to yell at you for asking a question. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, did you ever have a teacher get mad at you because you asked a question? That's the dumbest question I ever heard. No, you don't want to hear that. But you know what? God never does that. He always says, I welcome that question. Glad you asked. Even if you ask a dumb question, he'll just say, let me help you with that. So you just get in close and you say, could I ask something? Well, sure. Well, I was just wondering, how did this work? Or how did you do that? Or what was the purpose for doing this? And he'll just say, let me tell you about that. Let me tell you. I mean, wouldn't it just be great? Just inquire in his temple. The closer you try to get to him, the more he tells you, the more he lets you in on things, the more he tells you what's going on. Psalm 25, verse 14, the Bible says in Psalm 25, 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You want to know what God has? Stand by and say, Lord, I'm here. I just want to serve you. Would you show me something today? What a blessing. What a blessing. Number 4, I said they serve God in his temple. They offer praise unto God. They learn the wisdom of God. And number 4, they are sent forth by the Lord. Zechariah again, back to Zechariah chapter 6 and verse number 5. I know I'm going kind of quickly here. Really, I'm just gathering information from a bunch of different visions and stories and everything, and don't really have time to go into any background on these things. But I just want to, I'm hopefully giving you the feel of one who is, of being one who stands by. Zechariah 6:5 says, and the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. See, they're standing before the Lord. Lord, here I am. I'm just standing before you. You got something for me? I'm ready. He says, go do this. Go do this. You know what? Those that stand by, they get sent out to do something. Have you ever noticed if you're just there, you get sent on an errand? I remember when I first got saved and started hearing preachers preach, I said, man, I could never do something like that. No way, not me. That's not in me. Because I was one of those guys who was always in the background. Nobody really knew who I was. At least that's the impression I got. That's why I never wasted my time attending any of the high school reunions, because I doubt that there'd be anyone who would remember who I was. And so when God called me to come to Kuwait, and then later I realized that he was calling me to preach, I knew it was going to take more than what I had in and of myself to be able to speak in front of a group of people, because I knew myself. I knew me. I was not a leader in that way. But even before I ever preached a single message, I was trying to stay as close to God and to his people as I could. So I just started looking for jobs to do. I'd volunteer to help out any way I could, whether it was greeting the people as they entered the church, or ushering, or recording the messages, setting out chairs. And you know what I found out? Pretty soon, they started asking me to do stuff. You know, they'd ask me if I could come in and set things up for the Wednesday night potluck and the Bible study that would follow, or something else. And I was always there ready to do it. And they knew I would do it. And I'm not saying that to brag on myself. I'm just saying that was my desire at that time. And I'll tell you that I've had many times since then that my heart has not been right. But I remember how my heart back then was to serve God and say, Lord, I know I'm nobody. Boy, don't I know I'm nobody. But I just want to be there for you. And man, I'd just kind of hang around, and I'd get there early, hang around late. And every once in a while, somebody would say, what about this? And I'd say, well, I can do that. What's my point? If you stand by, they'll send you out. You know, when you stand by the Lord, he'll say, would you do this for me? You'll say, yes, Lord, let me go out and do it. I just want to serve you, Lord. You know, you stand by and he gives you something to do. You find over there as they ministered to the Lord in Acts chapter 13, that's where the Lord said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You know what they were doing? They were standing by. They were praising God. They were ministering to God. They were learning from him. Okay? There were teachers there. And God said, oh, by the way, I'm ready to send you out now. I got something for you to do. There's a job for you, an important job. And what a blessing it is to serve that God. The last thing I have is from Psalm 134. And the Bible says in Psalm 134, verse number 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Okay. The last point I have in this message is they stand by all night long. All night long till the morning comes. Okay. You know what God has called us to do? He's called us just to stand by. The Bible says that the day star is going to rise one of these days. The sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, capital R, is going to rise. But you know what? We're in a time of night, aren't we? In this world, we're in a time of night. The Bible says we're not for the night, though. We're for the day, and we're going to live as for the day, even though it is night. We're supposed to live for God and do his work and serve him. You know what we're supposed to be like? We're supposed to be like Paul and like Silas down there in the dungeon in Philippi at midnight, singing the praises of God and preaching and praising. You know, when you get down there, this is a time of night. And a lot of people are getting discouraged now, aren't they? And I understand why. I mean, if you read a paper a little bit more than you read your Bible, you're going to get discouraged, people. The news is going to discourage you. I'm just telling you, if you spend more time in the newspaper or watching CNN or BBC and everything else than you do reading that Bible, you're going to be a saddened, discouraged person. We ought to be spending more time with that book than we do in anybody's newspaper. And that's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:17, "He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." The more you know about the happenings in this world, the sadder you're going to become. That's the truth. And that we've all experienced that, especially these past couple of years, haven't we? But if you'll occupy your time in the Word of God, you'll find out God says, yes, it's night. But you know what? I'm the light of the world, and I'll give you strength, and I'll help you, and I'll be there. And you know what our attitude ought to be? Just, Lord, let me stand by. It's a long night. I'm getting kind of tired. I mean, it's darkness before dawn, though, right? Remember that? It seems so dark out there now, and I haven't had any sleep tonight, Lord, but it's my responsibility. This is my post. I'm going to stand by, Lord. I'm going to just keep on serving. I'm going to just keep going for you, Lord, because I love you so much. Lord, I'm tired, but that doesn't matter, Lord, because I'm serving you. I want to give myself, and I'm going to serve through the night. And I'm going to be here in the morning, still standing the best I know how, serving you, Lord, giving my life, giving my heart, giving my all to you and saying, Lord, here it is. I don't know what I can do, but I'm going to stand by and be ready to serve you and to praise you and to give my heart and my life to you. My whole business is just serving you, Lord. You know, even Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. You know what we need to seek? We need to seek to walk among these that stand by. Just like Joshua there, that high priest who had been in iniquity. We don't know what it was, but evidently he messed up on something. And he had filthy garments on. And there was the devil standing there next to the Lord, accusing him and resisting him and saying, hey, you can't use him. And God says, the Lord rebuke thee. I can use him if I want to use him. Put some clean clothes on him, put a fair mitre on his head. And then after he gets the devil out of there, the Bible says the Lord protested unto Joshua. He protested. He fussed at him. He says, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, okay, then comes the blessings. Then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. He says, you see these guys standing by over here? You get to be part of them. And you know what? As I read that and studied that this week, I said, Lord, I know I come far short. But if there's anything I really want in my life and in eternity, is that maybe sometime, somewhere, I could just be one of those that stand by, ready to do your bidding, ready to praise you, ready to minister to you. Someone who just stands all night at his post, saying, Lord, just help me to keep on serving you. You know, I believe if we would just have that kind of heart, that God could do great things with us. But it doesn't matter what he does with us. Our job is just to stand by and say, Lord, here I am. I'm here for you. I'm not here for me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to, if we've lost any of the excitement of knowing you and being able to talk to you like we are right here, Lord, help us to get that back. Help us, Lord, to love your word more than we love anything else we might read. that we might gain more insights, spiritual insights, and knowledge of the things of God, and be prepared to do whatever you would have for us to do. Be ready to be sent out and do your bidding. Lord, help us to desire to tell others about our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be willing and able and excited about the opportunities that you give us to serve Him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.